Numbers chapter number 16. And we have here a passage that Jude chapter 11, or Jude verse 11, calls the gainsaying of Korah. The gainsaying of Korah. And that word, the gainsaying in the Greek there in Jude chapter 11, or Jude verse 11, is antilogia, or antilogia. And it means against the word. Against the word. So basically what we find here is a rebellion against God's commands. A rebellion against God's word by this one named Korah. And he brings several others with him into this rebellion against God. Israel's really going through a struggle as we've come to this place in their story. They come to the edge of the promised land, the place that they are promised to them, the place they are looking forward to getting to. Ultimately, when they're on the border of the promised land, they send their spies in, their spies come out, they deliver their message, 10 of them, of course, a negative, 2 of them positive, and so the people elect to go with the negative, and so because of this, there is a plague brought upon their rebellion at that point. The Lord kills the 10 spies that brought the evil report, and he tells the children of Israel they're not going to the promised land, you're going to wander for 40 years, and your children are going to come in and take the land. Well, then they decide, well, we'll go in anyway. And so there was a group of them that came to Moses and said, we're just going to go in and do it anyway. We're right here. It seems silly for us to go anyplace else. Let us just go in and fight. We'll go in and take the land. Moses said, you go in and try to take the land, you're going to be defeated because God's not going with you. And the only way you're going to win is that God is with you. And they go anyway. And they are utterly defeated by the Amalekites and the Canaanites that come down out of the mountain to fight against them. Then God sends a plague on them, and several more of them die. Now we come to chapter 16, and they begin to complain against Moses' leadership. And guess what they're complaining about? Moses, this is all your fault. This is all your fault. And if we were helping you make these decisions, if you wasn't trying to do this all by yourself and we were helping you make these decisions, we would have made the right decisions and none of this stuff would have happened to us. And everything would be just smooth and spongy from this point. It would have been just fine and perfect if you would have included us. And so we're just going to make ourselves rulers with you. And we're going to help you make, because you can't make these decisions. You've messed up too bad. This is where we come to here in chapter 16. And notice we begin here, verse 1. We read here about Korah and the company that comes with him with these complaints to Moses. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. They went and got the Hollywood elite to go with them in this. They went and got the popular people. And said, hey, you know what? We need to be ruling with Moses. Not only were they talking about Moses' rulership, Korah would take it a step further and say, well, not only do we need to help you make these decisions, Moses, but I need to also be helping with the priesthood. It shouldn't just be Aaron and his sons. I should be helping as well. I should be doing that work of intercession for the children of Israel. I should be a high priest like Aaron. And so he takes it even a step further in his rebellion against the leadership of the Lord here. And so he says there, verse 3, they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them. We are all holy. And so we all should be taking part in this leadership. That's quite a statement of pride there, isn't it? Quite a statement of pride. If they are holy at all, it is because the Lord makes them holy. And these folks here are not being holy in the statements they are declaring. We're all holy because we are all, they're claiming, the people of God. Well, Paul would make that point later on. Not all Israel is Israel. Just because somebody is a part, just because somebody is one of them, just because somebody is in the bloodline, does not mean they are believers. And the Lord will make them of Israel. He will make them believers. They will believe. So we've got this crew here that's a part of this. They are claiming holiness. And so because of their holiness, we have just as much right as you, Moses, and as you, Aaron, to lead this children of Israel. Wherefore then, lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. Why are you exalting yourself? Why are you lifting yourself up? We have just as much right to lead as you all do. When Moses heard it, he fell on his face. Now, Moses will get angry with these people from time to time. We've seen instances of it already in his anger against them. We're going to see a big one later on where he gets angry, and it's going to cost him dearly because of his anger. But Moses will get angry with them. But most of the time, what we see from Moses is not his anger with the children of Israel, but his pity for the children of Israel. Because what does he do? He falls down on his face. What's he falling down on his face for? He is trying to intercede for them before the throne of God. Because these people will not learn the lesson. They will not learn the lesson. God has given them specific instruction. He demands obedience to that specific instruction. And what do they keep doing? Trying to leave out the specifics. They like the idea of the general following of the Lord. We like the idea of meandering after Him, but these restrictions that God has put on us, they're just too great. We think that we can decide better for ourselves. We think that we can make better decisions. We think that everything would be alright if we could do it our way. And so they reject. They're blaming Moses and Aaron here, but really they are simply rejecting the leadership of God and declaring they can do it better than God can. And so Moses, we see, falls down upon his face, and he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are His and who is holy. And will cause him to come near unto him, even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. He says, you think you're all holy, tomorrow the Lord's going to show who he declares is holy. Tomorrow the Lord is going to call who he has chosen to himself. And he will make this clear. It should have already been clear to them. But here the Lord, Moses says, the Lord's going to make it clear. He's going to show you tomorrow at this time. He's going to show you who is His chosen. This do, he says, take you censers, Korah and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. Moses said again unto Korah, hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi. Now here we find in verse number 8 that it wasn't just Korah. Korah was of the tribe of Levi, but it wasn't just Korah of the tribe of Levi. So you have these sons of Reuben, you have these other famous folks that's in the congregation, but you also have some more of the Levites as well there with Korah that are saying the same thing Korah is saying. Why is it that Aaron and his sons get to be? Why can't I be priest too? I want to be high priest. His outfit's prettier than mine. Why can't I wear that outfit? Why can't I have that crown on my head that says holiness unto the Lord? Why is it just he gets to wear that? And to some degree, thinking back in the year of coming to the place where they were at, that some of them may have legitimate complaints against Aaron. Aaron's always been involved in these other rebellions. Aaron is one that's there. He's in the middle of it. I mean, when they make the golden calf, who is it that makes it? Aaron is the one that makes it. Aaron's the one that says, bring me your gold, I'll make you a calf. And then when Moses comes down and questions about it, he lies about it. He says, well, I just put the gold in and this calf popped out. And so he lies about this. Then later on, we read just a few weeks ago where he and Miriam come. Miriam kind of is leading the charge here, but she comes and rebels against Moses. Well, obviously, Moses, you can't lead us. I think me and Aaron need to help you lead. We're just as good as you are. We've been around this from the beginning, just what you have. Why should you be leading us? Why aren't we part of it? And of course, she comes down with leprosy. And Aaron's kind of left out of it. He's not judged as harshly as her. But he's there. He's right there in the middle of it. And so maybe there's some legitimate complaint against, wait a minute, Aaron keeps messing up. Why is he there? He's involved. Why does he get to be the high priest? Why don't I get to be it? And so we read there, Moses speaks to them here. He says, ye sons of Levi. So it's more than one, more than just Korah here representing the tribe of Levi. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? Isn't it enough, he says? Do you consider it a small thing that God has exalted you all above the rest of the tribes of Israel to be his servants to the people, to be his ministers to the people? I mean, they're already elevated in that sense. They're already elevated above the people. They're working in the tabernacle. They're the ones that's doing the work there. He says, are you thinking that's too small for you that you should have more? What more are you wanting than this wonderful service that God has given you? This elevation that he has made you and lifted you up to do this work. Do you think that's a small thing that God has done for you? Seemeth it a small thing, he says. Verse 10, he says, and he hath brought thee near to him and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also. He's elevated you all. He's given you these positions. You're working in the tabernacle. You're the ministers to the people. And here now you're coming in here saying you're wanting all of it. But that's not enough. You want to be doing everything. For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that you murmur against him? They're doing the same thing to Aaron here as Aaron and Miriam were doing to Moses earlier. And Moses sent called Dathan and Abiram. The sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come up. So Dathan and Abiram, they've already spoke out against Moses, and they've already made their claim that Moses shouldn't be leading them, and then Moses calls for them to come up before him, and they said, no, we don't have to obey. We'll do what we want to do. You can't call us up before. You can't hold us in contempt if we don't want to come and speak to you. You'll have no right to call us up. We'll not come up, they say. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself to altogether a prince over us? This is their charge against Moses. Here we were at the land flowing with milk and honey. That's what you said you were taking us to. And now you're leading us away from it. You obviously can't lead us anymore, Moses. You've done messed up. You failed. You didn't do what you said you were going to do. And so they blame Moses for their sin, for their rebellion, for their turning against God, for their unbelief, for their unfaithfulness. They're trying to blame Moses. You should have led us better, Moses. You should have made us believe, Moses. You should have told those 10 spies, no, Moses. You can't lead us into the promise. You're leading us away from it. All because you just want to be prince over us. Let me assure you of something. And I think Moses kind of makes it clear himself in this passage as well. But Moses had no desire to be a prince over this people. If given Moses' description and Moses' speech to the Lord, Moses would have gladly given it to anybody else that God would allow him to give it to. Verse 14, he says, moreover, thou hast not brought us into the land that floweth with milk and honey, or give us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. Moses is very wroth and said unto the Lord, respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. Now here, Moses has already told them, on tomorrow, you all bring your censers before the Lord. We're going to offer these censers before the Lord. You bring your censers, I'll bring my censers, and we'll come and offer this offering of incense before the Lord, and we'll see who the Lord chooses. Now Moses is saying, Lord, don't accept their offering. When they come, he's already told them, God's going to choose who's his. He's going to call him who is his. You all bring these censers. But now he's praying, Lord, and it goes back to similar prayers that David would pray, break their teeth. Don't accept their offering when they come. When they bring this offering, Lord, please don't accept it. Don't accept it. I've not done anything to them, he says. I've not done anything to them. And this kind of goes back to Numbers chapter 12. If you remember when we were there in Numbers chapter 12, one of the arguments against the fact that Moses is the one who wrote this is this parenthetical statement that's given to us here in chapter 12 and verse 3. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And there are those that, well, Moses wouldn't, he obviously is not the writer of this. He wouldn't be bragging about himself in that way. But given Moses' details here concerning his leadership of them, I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. Moses said, I've not done anything to these people. They've deserved it over and over and over again, but he's not done anything against them. And so this shows us Moses very well could have been the one to write. And I believe he is. That's what the scripture tells us. That he's the one that wrote this book, that he wrote that verse there in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3. But Moses calls on the Lord here not to accept their offerings that they bring on the morrow. Moses said unto Korah, verse 16, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow, and take every man his censer and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers, thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer. And they took every man his censer and put fire in them and laid incense thereon and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. Verse 19 says, and Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, right there, for those folks that were standing in opposition to them, right there, you know, I'm in the wrong company. Because who does God speak to? Moses and Aaron. He goes to them. God's not changed. He's not changed his promises. He's not changed his direction. He's not changed his guidance in regards to these children of Israel. Nothing has changed in regards to this. And now he speaks to Moses and to Aaron, giving them direction here. Separate yourselves, he says, from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? Here Moses intercedes for them again. Lord, please don't destroy all the congregation because of these dummies that have come and sinned against you, those that have rebelled against you. Don't destroy the whole congregation. And Moses, well, verse 23, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from out of the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Those that had gathered there, those that were conspiring in their tents there with them, those that were stirring up the trouble with those three, he says, y'all get out of there. Get out of their tents. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side, and Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moses said, hereby you shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. Moses said, if they fall over dead right now and they've died of a heart attack, he said, then the Lord didn't send me. He's not sent me to do this work. The Lord's going to do something miraculous in the judgment that he's going to bring on them, that you know that this was the judgment of the Lord. Verse 30, he says, but if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods, they and all that appertained to them, went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. The ground opened up and swallowed them and buried them at the same time. And they were no more. Now, just can you imagine that just for a moment? Can you imagine what that looked like? The ground just opening up, they're gone, falling into it, and the ground closes over the top of them again. Don't you know that that wouldn't put some fear in you as you watch this unfold? And all Israel, verse 34, that were round about them fled at the cry of them. For they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. Why would they be concerned about that? Because they were all complaining. They were all bringing these charges against Moses and Aaron. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. So this wasn't their leaders. As Moses interceded, Moses prayed, Lord, don't judge the whole congregation, just these guys that led it. And God judged them specifically, but then he doesn't let the others go either. He rains down fire on them and consumes the other 250. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning, and scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hallowed. So these 250 have brought these censers. They're burning the incense upon them. The incense, by the way, that was separated for the service of the Lord, that the Lord said that was only to be used in the worship of Him, that was holy. Those offering it were not holy, but that which was separated unto the Lord, those censers and that which was thereon, the fire that was in them, which was the fire from the altar itself, the incense that was on it, which was the incense that was dedicated to the service of the Lord for the offering of the Lord. The Lord said, that's holy. Go get those things and take them out of the judgment that I've just brought on this bunch. Go get those things and separate them out. Those things are holy. That was separated unto me. That was for my worship. So they were using that which is holy. They were using that which was separated unto the Lord to accomplish or to try to get their own way. They were using that which is holy to do their wickedness. They were trying to, it was just an open rebellion on their part. But in their rebellion, they were trying to commandeer that which was separated unto the Lord to give them some sort of prestige, if you will. To give them some sort of legitimacy. We're using the holy things. And God separates it. He draws that line between them. No. You're using my holy things, but you are not holy. And so he sends Eleazar, the priest, to go in and among these 250 bodies that are burning there on the ground. He says, go and get my censers. And you go take the incense that's there on and take it outside the camp and burn it. It's holy unto me. And so he goes and gathers these up and takes them out from among this judgment. And he says, verse 38, the censers of these sinners against their own souls, let them make them broad plates for a covering of the altar, for they offered them before the Lord. Therefore they are hallowed, and they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel. And Eleazar the priest took the brazen censers wherewith they that were burned had offered, and they were made broad plates for a covering of the altar. So they made these brass plates. They took those censers and smashed them down and made these large plates, and those plates were to be put on top of the altar as a covering for the altar. Like maybe for when they're carrying the altar from place to place or whatever, but it provided that covering there for the altar, and it was a memorial to the children of Israel. When they were able to see, the children of Israel wouldn't see it that often except for in movement as they were being transported from place to place. But those Levites saw it every time they went into the tabernacle. And it was the Levites that were leading this rebellion. And so those Levites, every time they went into the tabernacle, every time they went in to do the service, every day when they were going in to do this work, there was those big brass plates laying there on top of the altar. Oh, I remember when that happened. I remember what that looked like. I remember how scared I was on that day as they would see those plates there on that altar. I remember how I was reminded of the holiness of my God as I saw those plates. It was a memorial to them. It was a memorial to them. And he says there, verse 40, to be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger which is not of the seed of Aaron come near to offer incense before the Lord. That he be not as Korah and as his company, as the Lord said to him by the hand of Moses. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, you have killed the people of the Lord. The next day, they're complaining again. Moses, what are you doing? There's not going to be any of us left by the time we get back up here. You killed the people of the Lord. And they're blaming him again. And Moses declared to them, I want you all to understand that when this happens, it ain't me that's causing this. I want you to understand that it's not by my will, he says, that this happens. And now here they are blaming him for it again. And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared, and Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation of the Lord, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. And so God sends a plague upon the children of Israel. And Moses says, Moses and Aaron were trying to intercede. They were standing between God and the congregation. They were trying to intercede for them. And God says, no, that's too bad. And Moses says, run and get a censer and go and make an atonement for them before the Lord. And so Aaron is running to get the stuff that he needs to get in order to go and make an atonement for the Lord. But by the time he gets there, the plague is already on them. And it says Moses Aaron took, as Moses commanded, rather, verse 47, and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people, and he put on incense and made an atonement for the people, and he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. The plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700. Besides them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. How many times have we complained against the Lord? How many times have we rebelled against Him? How many times have we disobeyed Him? How many times have we said, Lord, why are you doing this? And why are you doing that? And why do you have this bunch leading us? Or why do you have this guy telling us what to do? And after that, how many times have we just rebelled against Him and went against Him just as the children of Israel have done here? And the Lord's not did to any of us what He did here to the Jews. The Lord deals with them very harshly in His leading them. They're His chosen people. They are His nation that He chose to give Himself to make Himself known to. They were separated from among all the nations of the earth, but they are going to show the holiness of God, or He will punish them. And He deals harshly with them. Harshly with them. And we see that harshness of the Lord lit throughout their history. Not just when they're in the wilderness here. We see that throughout their history. Because God demands of them to obey Him. He demands their obedience. Because it is out from them that Christ would come. It is out from them that all the nations of the earth would be blessed. It is out from them that the world would know who Messiah is. It is out of them. And these folks that He's coming out of are the ones that are complaining against the Lord. They're whining about everything. They're enduring everything that they're going through. They're griping. They're complaining. They're asking, why did you even bring us out here? Why can't we go back to Egypt? Why have you done this to us? Constant rebellion against the Lord. And the Lord deals with them very, very harshly. Very harshly. They will straighten up. That first generation won't make it those first 40 years. This is the next day. The next day they're complaining against the Lord. And we scratch our heads and say, what in the world? And yet how many times have you done exactly the same thing? How many times have we spoken the same stuff? How many times have we deserved the judgment of the Lord? And all His wondrous grace. All His wondrous grace. Moses and Aaron were interceding the best they knew how. My Lord intercedes the best that can be. His is absolute perfection. Absolute perfection. Aren't you glad that He's the one interceding for us instead of Moses and Aaron? Absolute perfection. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer now.